This is the Podium Finish Live from Austin, Texas, and various points across the country. Here's your host, Rob Tiansen.
And a good day to everyone out there listening to us on this Father's Day weekend edition of the Podium Finish Live on your preferred podcasting platform. I'm Rob Tiansen, going alongside, finally, Nathan Solomon after a bit of a reprieve for him. But of course, he had prior commitments, but it's good to have Nathan back. And we're going to be looking back at the weekend that was at Sonoma Raceway for the NASCAR Cup Series. And then, of course, look ahead to the Saltillo Grand Prix at Road America for the NTT IndyCar Series. That's right, folks. We're talking about IndyCar for half of the show and half of it looking back at Sonoma, because the NASCAR Cup Series, pretty much the entire NASCAR series, is off for Father's Day weekend. So for you dads out there in the NASCAR industry or anywhere, happy Father's Day to each of you. And we'll talk about more NASCAR next week for episode 75, which is kind of cool to say that we're doing this during the 75th anniversary of NASCAR being in existence. So lots to look forward to when we preview Nashville. But for now, lots to get to. And of course, I would be remiss if I don't mention who our hot seat interview is for today's show after last week's rousing episode, which featured Cliff Daniels and Cesar Villanueva. And then the previous week after that was Anthony Alfredo. Well, we have NTT IndyCar racer Pato O'Ward joining us here for the show. So yes, of course, he's the driver of the number 5 Arrow McLaren Dallara Chevrolet entry. And he's 5th place in points as of this recording, looking for his first win of the year. So with that, let's go bring in Nathan, because we have so much to get to on this show. So Nathan, how are you doing today?
Doing well. It's good to be back finally. Yeah, it's been a little touch and go lately. Been some work stuff going on. So for those who don't know, I'm a greenskeeper at one of my local golf courses, and typically we get like a big drought in July. This year the big drought decided to come in like end of May. So it literally went a month without rain. So I was watering at the golf course quite a bit, which included most nights. So that's why I was really unable to record the podcast during the last couple weeks. But Mother Nature is finally cooperating. It rained all day Monday. It's rained all day Wednesday as we're recording this, and it's expected to rain all day Friday. So making up for lost time, giving me some evenings off, which is good, and gives me more time to be back here and talking racing. So that's always encouraging. Looking forward to getting back to the track here soon. I've got an IMSA race next weekend, and then some NASCAR stuff coming up. So looking forward to all that.
Yeah, you're pretty much on a busy stretch starting next week with the 6 hours up the Glen, of course, which is what a race you covered last year. So pretty cool for you to be there, and the sports car world will be looking forward to that after the 24 Hours of Le Mans won by Ferrari. And of course, we had the NASCAR 56 entry as well. So congrats to Hendrick Motorsports, Chevrolet, Action Express Racing, Jimmy Johnson, Mike Rockefeller, and Jensen Button on accomplishing that feat with a stock car. It's so cool to see on that over 8 mile road course in France. And then of course, for Nathan, he doesn't have to worry about Instagram filters for the sky, because it's no longer orange as the East Coast has been dealing with. So I'm sure you're glad to see clear skies.
I don't know how much, if you mentioned it at all last week, but it was really bad. Like New York City had it worse than anywhere else. But where I live, I mean, I live pretty close to the Watkins Glen for those out there. And it was crazy. Like for about 3 days, I mean, I couldn't see more than like a mile in front of me. And at one point, like, I think it was last Wednesday, like I looked out at work and like the whole horizon was like bright orange. It was weird. It was certainly one of the weirder, I guess weather. I mean, it's not really weather, but like, I guess it kind of is weather though. One of the weirder climate or weather global, I don't know the best way to describe it, but things I've been a part of, I guess.
Yep, because I can't recall any craziness like that when I lived in the Northeast. So you guys experienced something rare and hopefully not happening again. But I think we take turns in weather phenomenons, because now it's screaming hot in Central Texas and we're also having hazy skies. Nothing like yours, Nathan, but we're having to deal with some wildfire smoke from Mexico. So Yay, air quality issues and heat and humidity. So it is what it is. That's why I'm inside and I'm not recording outside right now. But folks, I hope you are getting ready for this weekend with your dads or your father figures, or if you're a dad yourself, hope your family is going to have a fun time with you guys. And of course, if you're looking for that last second Father's Day gift, well, our partners at SpoilerDiecast.com are pretty good about giving some selections on diecast. So let me give you some reasons why you should shop at spoilerdiecast.com right now. Hey, racing fans, are you in the hunt for the latest diecast cars from Lionel Racing or F1 or IndyCar diecasts? Well, look no further. If you head to spoilerdiecast.com, you'll find all of the latest and greatest diecast cars and get free shipping and 5% off of your orders if you use promo code TPF by spending $20 or more on your items. Head over to spoilerdiecast.com and let Evan and his team know that you want the best diecast cars around. And if you use promo code TPF, you'll be in the winner's circle. It doesn't get better than that, so just head on over to spoilerdiecast.com and make your latest purchases today. And yes, folks, promo code TPF, it's the real deal to get some deals of free shipping and 5% off your orders of $20 or more. It doesn't matter if it's in stock or pre-order items. So Lionel has been shipping a lot of their 2023 inventory over to the States, which means dealers like Evan at SpoilerDiecast.com can get you those diecast cars right away, and super fast shipping, pretty fun to have. To wait for the mail to arrive and you get to get that package and decorate your house or your office, whatever it may be. And of course, for IndyCar fans, Greenlight Collectible diecast cars are on the way too at the end of this month and towards the summer. So don't be in despair, because the NASCAR cars are here, IndyCar diecasts will be on their way too. So you'll feel like you're on the grid at Road America as well. But why don't we get to it, folks? Why don't we head on over to Podium Perspectives? Now, it seems like we talk about this as almost as annually as the Summer Olympics happens, but for the fourth time in basically the last decade, Sonoma Raceway saw another Martin Truex Jr. victory happen. Now, unlike the victories in 2017 and 20, or 2018 rather, and 2019, he did this without a stage break caution like we've had at road courses from 2017 to 2022. As you may know, folks, NASCAR road courses that have the Cup Series accompanying them, they don't have any stage break cautions anymore. So that meant that the road course races are a lot more natural, strategies happen, and we get to see a lot more fuel mileage and pit strategies come into play, which was a cool little storyline that unfolded on Sunday's 110 lap race. And Martin Truex Jr. starting to assert himself as a championship favorite with his second win of the year after going winless of all of last year. So Nathan, let's get your thoughts on this. What stood out to you about Truex's victory at Sonoma? I know you kind of tweeted your predicted championship four, and I believe Truex kind of caught your attention.
Yeah, I mean, well, I don't know if that's necessarily my championship four. I think it's more the top four drivers right now, and I know we'll discuss that probably at more length here in this next topic, but this is not really a good answer for Truex, but like everything, but like kind of nothing stood out for Truex at the same time, because some people made very good points on Twitter, and I guess I kind of forgot about it a little bit, because he went all of 2022 without winning, but like when he wins, like he dominates. Like he doesn't just kind of like back into wins or maybe take a lead on a restart with 15 to go or something. Like he flat out dominates, and that was what happened. I mean, he was the best car all day on Sunday. Obviously, Denny Hamlin started on the pole. He was running good laps, basically, in clean air, no lap traffic. But Martin Truex Jr. just reeled him in, and once he got out front, I mean, he really didn't lose. He didn't lose the lead on his own, right? Like he got shuffled back to 10th when we had the caution. I think that was for the wheel on pit road, I think it was. Just because that was kind of towards the end of the pit cycle, there were still a couple of guys. There's still a handful of guys that had not made their pit stops yet. So just based on kind of how that caution fell, he pit and he got shuffled back to 10th and then drove through the field and then drove right back up to the lead. But nobody could just come up to him and pass him. So yeah, he was the best car. Joe Gibbs Racing was the best organization for sure, because I mean Denny Hamlin had one of the best cars as well. Obviously he kind of got bogged back in traffic a little bit later and then made a mistake on his part and crashed and brought out the second and final caution of the race. And you kind of mentioned it too with like the no stage breaks. I mean, I think that it worked out really, really well. And a lot of people were complaining that race was super, super boring, but people have to make up their minds here, because people wanted to keep stage racing, but ditch the caution at the end of stages on road courses. NASCAR listened, and that's exactly what they did. So when they do that, that allows the races to play out a little bit more naturally and for strategy to become much more of a factor, because basically when there would actually be a stage caution, all the drivers would just short pit the stage and come down with two to go. They'd surrender stage points for track position in the next stage. And like, I remember there was a truck race a couple years ago at Watkins Glen that I was at. I think it was, I forgot which stage it was, stage one or two. Literally the entire field pitted with two to go. The entire field. Austin Hill was leading, pitted, came back out, the entire field pitted, and then he proceeded to go on and win the stage. Like, that's how bad it was getting. So NASCAR implemented this, and then people are complaining, oh, there's not, you know, it was a boring race, there was not as many cautions. Well, didn't people ask for this, right? Like, people wanted no stage cautions so the race could play out naturally, and that's what happened on Sunday. I enjoyed the race probably more than most people. I thought it was a good race. I know it was hard to pass, and some of that's the track, some of that's the car. But I think just with a bunch of different strategies and watching a race like that play out naturally, I thought it was a lot of fun. Like you mentioned, the way that those two cautions fell really made teams think about how they're going to deal with strategy, and I enjoyed that aspect of it, even though it was essentially a dominating performance for Truex. So more of that, please. People also, like I said, they need to make up their mind about road courses, because they complain either way.
Well, I think to your point, you bring us good points as to why we should have no stage break cautions. In fact, I would even argue that we should just get rid of them altogether. Although the networks won't like that, because it's their planned caution, commercial period break rather, for their TV times. But I did see some good counter arguments, at least those who didn't say, oh, it was boring because there weren't enough cautions. I think the thing for those fans, like the fans that were a little bit more argumentative and not just saying it sucked, were the ones who would say, well, I think these next-gen cars are a little too easy to drive on the road courses where, well, in days of yore, which would be my younger years, these cup cars were not built for road courses. They were purpose-built for speedways, although, of course, they don't handle perfectly for speedways. In fact, you have to always wrestle around with the control of the car. But it just seems that the cars may be a little bit, now they're a little bit too easy to drive. I don't know. I mean, I'm not a race car driver, and that would be a question I would love to ask some drivers in the Cup Series when I get a chance this summer, just to kind of figure out, like, hey, you know, if you've driven the old car, at least say Gen 5, Gen 6, compared to this one on a road course, what is different about that? And maybe then there's a little bit more substantiative, you know, observations with this. I found it a little ridiculous, though, that Dale Jr. was like, we need to have stage precautions come back. And I'm like, hell no. I don't like them. I think they're stupid. You know, you brought up the truck race in 2021 at Watkins Glen where everybody pitted with two to go in stage one, and Austin Hill pretty much was the Pied Piper. And we don't need that. I would even argue for the super speedways, let's get rid of those altogether, so that way there you don't have to have those OEMs pitting all together and you know, having the shenanigans going on the pit road entry, because I could just imagine the mess we'll see next month at Atlanta. I'm not looking forward to that with the pit road situation, but There's a lot we can certainly digress from that, but no matter what we think, Truex won. He dominated. He was going to likely win the race because once he, I even said it on Twitter that it would be only a matter of time before Truex took the lead from Hamlin because he started from eighth and he was just corralling positions like a cowboy with a lasso in the desert. It was just too easy for him, for sure, because they did their homework. Now, I know it's so early to talk about championship four contenders. We're only 10 races away from the regular season at this point being done with. But as you said, Nathan, you kind of think of the Fox FS1 turnover to NBC and USA as sort of the halfway point in the season itself. So I have my thoughts on who I think sort of seem like championship four contenders, although it's so early, of course. But, based on what you said, I know you didn't really mean it like a championship four, but a quartet that stood out to you. But if you had to make a prediction as to who would contend for the championship at Phoenix, who stands out to you and why?
Yeah, so I tweeted this out. I think it was Sunday night. I mean,
Yep.
I think without a doubt, the top, like, we have not had one dominant driver this season. Like, typically most years, we obviously have a bunch of guys that have multiple wins, but there's usually always the one guy who goes out and has maybe at this point of the season, maybe four races and more top fives than everybody else, or has won four races and has more top fives than anybody else. This year we have four guys with multiple wins, and I mean these are the guys I'm going to name off. It's William Byron at three, Kyle Larson, Martin Truex Jr. at two, or excuse me, William Byron and Kyle Busch at three, and then Martin Truex Jr. and Kyle Larson at two. Sorry, my brain just skipped there for a second. Those are your four guys with multiple wins, and I think really when you look at their work of art as a whole this season, yeah, they've probably been the best. Probably the four best drivers in the series. Now, there's certainly a case there for Ryan Blaney. He has one win and nine top tens, tied for the lead in the series. Christopher Bell, one win, nine top tens, same thing. Those guys have been really consistent. I think Christopher Bell's just had a really quiet year, but a good year. Obviously, he won at Bristol Dirt, but I think that win because of like the circumstances. It's Easter Sunday. It's Bristol Dirt. I think that win kind of flies under the radar a little bit, because he's been rock solid, and obviously a few weeks loud, and that's a place he. I don't think he's. He doesn't lose there very often. He's won like the last, shoot, the last. I don't know what it is. He's won more than half of the races he started there. How about that in the two series combined? He's never lost an Xfinity race there. I know that. That I think that's the stat I was looking for. So that's very good chance that'll be another win. And obviously he was great in the playoffs too. But there's really altogether there's six or seven guys that really the cream of the crop right now for sure. Obviously Chase Elliott isn't really in that conversation yet. But if I were to pick championship four right now, yes, I guess it's the four guys with multiple wins. But I mean, part of me, a lot of me thinks that, a guy like Chase Elliott is still going to be in the championship four just because he's a very clutch driver. Obviously, well, number one, he has to go out and win one of the next 10 races. That's stage one here. I think there's a very good chance he does that. And assuming he does that, I mean, he's going to be wicked dangerous in the playoffs. I mean, he's going to be going through there with a chip on his shoulder, almost similar to like Kyle Busch in 2015, right? Like he gets hurt, obviously, like some sort of a comeback or revenge tour or whatever. But Elliott has had some really clutch wins in his career. He's a guy you don't want to rule out in the playoffs either. But yeah, I mean, I think William Byron's been the best car all year. He's been the most consistent car all year. Obviously, tied for the most wins in the series, like I mentioned. I mean, you look at a guy like Kyle Larson, needs a little bit more consistency. Same as Kyle Busch. I'm a little bit concerned about RCR short track program. Like, I think. Obviously, we're looking really far ahead, but like I don't think that bodes well for him at Phoenix. There's certainly flaws with each of the top four drivers or whatever, and even same as Martin Truex Jr. Consistency has been a problem with him at times this year too. So, I'd like to see outside of William Byron, who's been really consistent, I'd like to see one of those three guys really start to hone in a little bit more on consistency, and see if they can rattle off a few more wins too before we can really maybe separate. like maybe one or two drivers in particular above the rest.
Yeah, I mean, slicing and dicing is going to be happening quite a bit in these next 10 weeks. And of course, in the NASCAR Cup Series, and for the matter for the top three series, this is not your typical playoff format that we knew from, say, 2006 to 2013. We have eliminations, of course, that take place. So making a prediction in June, of course, is pretty bold in its own, but you know, certainly you make some good compelling arguments for the drivers you've mentioned. And I think we're going to be pretty similar with our mindset as well about, you know, definitive or at least some preemptive championship contender favorites. So, of course, I have to think about Martin Truex Jr. because he really had a good year last year. It just, he just didn't have the win to get into the playoffs. And if he did, well, who knows? But he had a lot of bad luck along the way, too, with equipment failures that were out of his control, of course. But I think they've got that all rectified. And yeah, Truex and James Small, no matter how their communication may seem like on the radio when it's shared, they get down to crunch time and they deliver. So I look for the 19 to be up front and be good in the playoffs when we get to that point. I also think, of course, with Kyle Busch, that's a really good compelling argument because when he hasn't won races, he's actually been pretty consistent. And that's kind of how Kyle Busch was during his championship season in 2019. I mean, he wasn't the most dominant driver per se in the NASCAR Cup Series, but he managed to get those good front-running positions, finishing positions in when it mattered. And of course, when he's on fire, he's consistent and everything's clicking for him. When you have a bad day and you call that a top five, that's pretty scary on its own. I think Kyle Larson is kind of iffy for me right now just because he hasn't really had a stretch of races yet this season where he's strung along a lot of good top 10, top five finishes sprinkled in with some victories because it's kind of been I forget what Larry McReynolds said, but it's like looking at your heart rate and it's just spiking and then goes low, spiking and goes low. And he's just had a lot of checkers or wreckers, I guess, this season. But this is the first time, I think, since the spring, really, that he's managed to get good finishes together, which is pretty odd. But if they can figure out how to convert the not-so-good days into top 10s and then close out the days that they can win, then I could say, yeah, they're probably the third championship contender for me. As far as the fourth one's concerned, I know he's not having the best season, and I realize Team Penske's lacking a lot of like great speed right now, but Joey Logano and the 22 team really stand out to me, not only just because they're the defending NASCAR Cup Series champions, but let's look at how things went for them at Gateway, okay? They weren't that great. They weren't that fast, but yet they still got a top five finish out of that situation. And then last weekend at Sonoma, let's admit they were garbage. I mean, they qualified 17th. They lacked pace. You know, it did take a bit of luck to get there in terms of pitch strategy and the cautions coming at the right time. But once he had that track position, he was able to stay where he was and actually get up to the third place at Sonoma, which was really impressive considering the fact that Logano really isn't what I consider a road course warrior, if you will. So I think the 22 team, for some reason, when it comes to game seven moments, they come through. So I would say Logano, Larson, Truex, and Kyle Busch are my definitive championship favorites. But William Byron's kind of like, we need to see more out of him, I think, when it matters, before I can say he's really in the picture. You know, we've seen this before where last season he had a good regular season. He had the two victories and then nothing really. You know, he had some weird stuff happen to him in the playoffs. And of course, that situation at Texas that, you know, he got into a little tiff with Denny Hamlin. They took points away. Hendrick appealed. He got the points back. And then, you know, it's just they had some bad luck happen to them in the round of eight. Chase Elliott, yeah, I agree with you, Nathan. You can't count him out just yet, just because of the fact that, you know, we haven't had him around really all season. You know, he had the accident with the snowboarding situation at Vail, Colorado during Las Vegas race weekend. course, he got suspended for his incident with Denny Hamlin at the Coca-Cola 600 at Charlotte. When we have a bunch of road courses coming up, and we saw that the number 9 team had some pretty good pace at Sonoma. So I think if they can qualify a little bit closer to the front, you know, they get that race day set up a little bit better. I look for Gustafson and Elliott to really make some noise at places like Watkins Glen, Indianapolis, and who knows, Chicago. And that race is coming up really quickly, folks. So lots to talk about with that. The one driver I'm really concerned about right now, I would say, is actually the driver who I've been praising as the most consistent up until his injury from a sprint car race earlier this year. Alex Bowman really hasn't done too much as of late. And I know he's just coming back from his injury, and it takes some time for a driver, even of Alex's great caliber and athleticism, to kind of get their bearings back. But time's a ticking, and I know they're in the playoff hunt right now, but they need to get a victory here pretty soon. Pretty difficult to contend for a championship these days if you're just okay, but you don't win a race. Martin Truex Jr. can talk about that last year. So we'll keep our eyes out on that, because that's going to be a lot of fun as we get to the end of this regular season. And Nathan and I think we both agree, we're not going to have a case where we'll have more than 16 different winners this season. It's just not that kind of year right now. But let's talk about next year, sort of. I know Nathan and I, we love to talk about schedules with NASCAR Cup Racing, maybe too much, but there's a reason why we're going to bring it up for our third topic, because Jordan Bianchi of The Athletic, let's just say that there were some rumbles about the schedule in an article for The Athletic, in which it may be a situation where the Bristol Dirt Race is gone and North Wilkesboro becomes a points race. And of course, we have to have some track take over the date that Fontana had for many years. So all of a sudden, you have some interesting characters or tracks possibly coming back into play here with the schedule. I don't know if Chicagoland is all of a sudden going to come back, because I know how people feel about the Chicago Street Course race. But Nathan, I know you are the schedule guru or critic, if you will, of TPF Live. You know, I don't know if you had a chance to look at Bianchi's article from The Athletic, but what did you think about the possibilities about next year's schedule?
Yeah, so I did not read the article, but I certainly have been enlightened about the North Wilkesboro thing. And I mean, and keep in mind, for clarity's sake, just that they're also talking that would be on Easter too, or Easter weekend at least. So I like it. I mean, I think it's a more ideal situation for everybody. I mean, I know Bristol Dirt's, unless you're a dirt guy, it's really not popular. So I think the general majority of people will be happy that Bristol Dirt would be off the schedule. And with that being said, if you're going to race on Easter, you better keep it close to home. And North Wilkesboro is pretty close to home. So a lot of people will live up there. I know a lot of people are up in the Statesville area. So that's only, you know, if you're up there, that's only about half an hour from the track. If you're closer to Charlotte, it's about, what, an hour, 15, hour 30. So that's pretty doable. I think in a perfect world, I don't think it'll happen. In a perfect world, that should be a Saturday night race. So then everybody can go home with the family on Sunday and just have the day off and just have a great holiday. I don't think that will be the case. I think it will probably be Sunday night. And if it's going to be at North Wilkesboro, personally, I'd like to see all three series there. I think Xfinity, oh my God, I think with that package, oh, I think that would be a great show. Well, I mean, you could put the Xfinity cars just about anywhere and they'll put on a great show. You could race them down Route 81 in Pennsylvania and they'd put in a good show. But yeah, I'd like to see all three series there. I know it would be hard if you're going to do the Cup race Saturday night to get all three there unless you do like a Thursday night truck race, which I wouldn't mind. But no, I think it'd be really good. I think North Wilkesboro should 100% be on the schedule for good. It should stay on the schedule. It should be a points race. Then not to get too far, it's like, well, if you make North Wilkesboro a points race, then what do you do with the All-Star race? So, like, I mean, I don't know. I guess it's like a never-ending, like, thing of where's the All-Star race going to be. Maybe they'd move it back to, like, Texas or something to give them, like, kind of a second date. But I think that'll also all depend on what they do with the truck schedule and how they align everything, or if they find another track they want to go to. I said it before in this podcast, and I'll say it again. I'm also much more than a lot of people. I'm also a huge supporter of getting Kentucky back on the schedule. I don't know why they don't go to Kentucky while that track just sits there. A lot of people say, oh yeah, the racing wasn't very good. Well, there's a lot of places that we go to two times where I'll take one of those dates away. Like I said, in a perfect world, in my perfect world, take the second Atlanta date away, the summer Atlanta date, and make that Kentucky. But again, I'm not Ben Kennedy. I'm not the guy making the schedule. Those are just what I'd like to see. Obviously, I think, I don't know, I think for the most part, the schedules will look, like, I know there's always talk that, oh, next year is when we're going to have the big schedule change, and everybody says that every year. I think for the most part, though, we're going to see a pretty similar schedule in terms of the tracks that we see. Personally, I'd like to actually see, I'd like to see Sonoma early in the year, especially now the Auto Club is going to be off, well, at least for the next couple years if they do the reconfiguration. At least next year, if they're not going there. So I'd like to see if they can move Sonoma onto the West Coast swing in February. I think it maybe saves some miles on the haulers. And then maybe, I don't know how you'd think about this, Rob. Maybe move Coda back a couple weeks. Not like a lot of it, but maybe move Coda into like mid-April or something. But that way you can have a little bit of time to space the road course races a little bit earlier in the year. But I don't know. I'm just kind of going on a limb here, though. But that's be more of my perfect schedule.
Coda in mid-April wouldn't be too bad, just because at that point you're going to have a little bit of variability with the weather. And honestly, the last couple of races I've been to have been scorchers, and it's late March when it's supposed to be cool. So maybe we'll get a little bit lucky and have like decent weather and maybe a little bit of rain showers, not heavy rain, but a little bit of rain to make a little bit chaotic, but controlled chaotic, if you will. Everybody wants to see a green Sonoma. I know Jazz was just saying that all of the show last week for episode 73, and I am in full concurrent with her about that. So yes, if we're going to in my perfect world, we would have Sonoma be race number two, and almost kind of going to pay homage to NASCAR back long before I was born, when Riverside was the first race of the season, a road course in Southern California. And then race number two was Daytona, and then the East Coast swing with Rockingham, Richmond, Atlanta, and so on and so forth. We can kind of have something like that again. I mean, I would love to have Daytona be I would love to have Daytona Speed Weeks come back altogether at this point, because, and then we'll get to topic number four here, because this will be a little bit of a tangent, if you will. If we're looking for chaos with race cars, and we already get that with a temporary racetrack in a football stadium, bring back the Clash at Daytona, but let's not make it all about having 25 cars in the field, okay? I know this is not going to be super popular with today's fans, but the Busch Clash should just be a pole sitters only kind of race, right? So give some incentive to winning the Busch pole. You know, I would love to see that happen again, because winning a pole before was like a badge of honor. You know, if you won the most poles, you got a leather jacket, you got a nice fat check in New York City, and bragging rights, of course, going into the next season because your team prepared the fastest car almost every single race weekend, right? Well, we get chaos at Daytona, but we can kind of prevent that from happening by having sprints. Two segments, 10 laps. All right, caution laps don't have to count. And we reverse the field. So if we have, say, 17 different pole sitters in 2023, right? We can have that. And then here's one thing that Nathan may like to hear. Why don't we have one Xfinity regular who won the most poles be the wildcard car? Why don't we bring a truck driver into the field who won the most poles, and they get to be that second wildcard entry? So you have an Xfinity driver, a truck driver, and then however many pole sitters from the Cup Series in the Busch Clash. Give about $1.5 million for the prize money, 20 laps total, 10 laps each stage. And I'm telling you, on a Saturday night, that's a fun friggin' race that you can have at Daytona Speed Weeks, because I want to see that happen again. No offense to the Clash folks that love LA and all that. That's just my opinion. So North Wilkesboro being a points race, I'd totally be in favor of. And yes, Nathan, I love the folks at Atlanta, but I think one race would be cool. Having two races kind of kills the whole Oh wow, this is such a different racetrack kind of a thing. Because Atlanta is now another super speedway, which joins Daytona and Talladega. SMI gets to have its own little Daytona, if you will. And I think the fun and luster from it's kind of gone away for it with me, just because we go there so often now. So yeah, maybe Kentucky can come back. And I kind of think we'd love to have Chicagoland come back too. I don't know if that's going to be in the cards because it seems like NASCAR loves this whole Chicago street course idea, and we haven't seen what's going to happen yet in terms of the race. I don't care about the news that happened last week. Unfortunate what happened. Glad people are okay, but let's stick to the race itself, not about, oh, this and that about Chicago. If it's a great race, fine, let's go back to your next year. If it didn't work, we tried, we failed, go back to Chicagoland and Joliet. And then, yeah, I don't know if we're gonna have the great year of change in the schedule next year, but as long as we keep it in the States, in North America, hey, if Montreal's part of it, I know Nathan, you'd probably consider that trip for sure at the Circuit Gilles Villeneuve. That's a fun track for sure. I have mixed thoughts if we think about taking this series internationally, but that's a long ways from now, I hope, because I don't know if I could stomach a trip going overseas. Just because yeah, it's crazy stuff. But anyways, lots of rumbling going on about the 2024 schedule. We'll keep you all posted once we know what happens for sure. Now for this week, we're going to change things up because we're going to do some winning time pick, not picks, pick for the IndyCar race at Road America. Now, of course, I know we don't really IndyCar is not our primary series as on TPF Live, admittedly. We are a NASCAR show, but the IndyCar series has kind of been captivating, to say the least, this year with all the diverse competition in terms of the series having different personalities, great championship contenders, and close battles all across the top 10 in points. In fact, I would say it's pretty intense in terms of the separation from first place, Alex Palou with 273 points, to 10th place, Felix Rosenquist with 148. I mean, anything can happen in these next several weeks in the IndyCar series. So the Sunseo Grand Prix at Road America, of course, is Road America's premier racing weekend. Now that NASCAR, again, no longer races there in the Cup Series side of things, but we have the Xfinity Series there. Last year, of course, with the Sunseo Grand Prix, Alexander Rossi won the pole, and Joseph Newgarden, this year's Indy 500 champion, won this race with Marcus Ericsson and Rossi himself finishing in the podium spots. So this race, of course, is going to be 55 laps long, or about 220.55 miles on this permanent 4.014 mile road course with 14 different turns. And by the way, Nathan, repaved. So it's going to be crazy fast when those drivers go up the hill in the front stretch and make that sharp right-hander into turn one. And oh man, it's gonna be a fun race on Father's Day Sunday. So before I give my pick about the race, Nathan, I know you may not be as well versed with IndyCar, but I know you picked the winner for the Indy 500. So hey, maybe you do know about IndyCar racing. So who do you think's gonna win on Sunday?
Oh, that is a very good question. Yeah, I guess it better be lucky than good with that one. Very good though to see Joseph Newgarden win that. I know he's been in the IndyCar series for a very long time. Watching the end of that was a crazy end. And just seeing him celebrate with the fans and everything, that was super awesome. So I don't know if he'll get the win on Sunday at Road America, but I feel like Alex Palou has been having a really good year. He's been qualifying really well too. So I think he's got what the last two poles, including Indy. So we'll go with Alex Palou to finally. I don't know if he'll get the pole on Sunday, but he'll at least finish this one off here at Road America.
Palou is the man right now in the IndyCar series, and it seems like all the makings of what happened in 2021 are repeating itself here this season. And the number 10 Chip Ganassi team they're just hitting on all cylinders, and it's pretty scary if you're outside of that campus right now with Ganassi. But I certainly think Palou could make a good case. In fact, I'm actually going to say he wins the pole this weekend, but I have a different race winner for Sunday's race. And it's not because he's a future hot seat guest for TPF Live, but I have to think that you have to look at a driver like Alexander Rossi to win this Sunday's race. Rossi has been looking forward to his new home at Arrow McLaren. He seems so content. And as you'll hear in a future episode, just the reasons why he made this switch from Andretti Autosport to race for Arrow McLaren and working with Pato Award, who is our hot seat guest this week, and Felix Rosenquist, the driver of the number seven Arrow McLaren Chevrolet. So I look for Rossi to be the winner this Sunday ahead of Palou. And I think for the podium finisher, I hate to do this to Romain Grosjean because I know he wants to win, but he'll get third place. And I know he's sick and tired of being a bridesmaid, but hey, Romain, your race will come at some point, but take a podium finish before we get to the next race weekend of the IndyCar series. So just as a reminder, folks, the Sonsio Grand Prix will be on USA this coming Sunday on at 1 p.m. East Coast time, noon Central. And if you have Peacock, tune into that so you can get that streaming on your mobile device or your TV. And then, of course, they resume their racing action at Mid-Ohio on the 4th of July weekend, July 2nd, 1:30 p.m. East Coast time, also in USA. And then they go north of the border to Toronto for the Honda Indy Toronto race, July 16th, 1:30 p.m. Eastern on Peacock only. And then they close out the month of July with a doubleheader weekend at Iowa, with the Hy-Vee Homefront 250 on July 22nd, 3 p.m. East Coast time on NBC, and the Hy-Vee One Step 250, July 23, 2 p.m. East Coast time, also on the Peacock network, known as NBC, not Peacock itself. So lots of racing ahead on the open wheel side. In fact, let's keep it on the open wheel side because we're going to actually fire up our NTT IndyCar Series TPF race car with Hot Seat. And no, Hot Seat's not the name of the driver, of course. I'm just talking about the segment, folks. But for this week, we have Pato O'Ward from Monterrey, Mexico, by way of San Antonio, Texas, and also Indianapolis, Indiana, on the show. And I had the chance to talk with him last week about his season to date, and also to just about getting ready for those races I just named off from basically Road America to Iowa. And let's just say that Pato is on mission, can't make mistakes anymore, because as he will point out right away, he's run out of mulligans and he has to get the number five team sailing in the right direction. But they're well capable of that. They're capable of winning races by the bunches, and they just need to have some clean races coming together as well. So, Pato is a lot of fun to talk to, of course. He's one of the most popular drivers in the IndyCar series. And I'll also showcase that interview in YouTube form later this week. And there's a good reason why I'm going to have that on YouTube as well, not just because I like to showcase these interviews on a visual front, but as you'll see, well, I don't know if he'll actually bark or not, but I got to meet Pato's dog, Norby. He's a young corgi. So pretty cool to talk about dogs on this podcast as well, being a dog dad myself. So with that, folks, let's head into the hot seat right now with Pato O'Ward. Welcome back to another edition of the Podium Finish Live's hot seat segment with me, Rob Tiansen, and driver of the number five Arrow McLaren Dallara Chevrolet, Pato O'Ward. Pato, how are you doing today?
Hey Rob, I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Of course, absolutely. I know you've got a lot of things ahead with the Road America race weekend. So, of course, you're in the midst of another championship hunt. You've got three podiums, you've led 154 laps. And as of this race number eight, you are fifth place in the point standings. What are some things you are encouraged by, and what are some things you want to work on in these next 10 races?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a freaking year, I can tell you that. Lots of different emotions, especially in the last few weeks. But every race that we have finished, we're inside the top five, which is really, really hard to do in this series. And ultimately, what's really killed us have been the DNFs. So I think we ran out of those the I guess the free balls, we can call them, where you've only got you've only got a very few amount during the year if you still want to be in contention. And we've definitely finished ours. And so we need to be picture perfect. And we understand that not everything is always going to be picture perfect, but we're going to be working on it. And there's 10 races to go. We're not even halfway yet.
Yeah, plenty of time for sure for the number five team. And, you know, although your organization has yet to win an IndyCar championship, I think you, Alex, Ander, and Felix, you're all making compelling cases to go be in that mix and possibly bring home that first championship for the team. So, you know, how significant is it for you, especially to know that your team, despite those DNFs, or, you know, you guys are competitive, getting top fives, and you're returning to the form that you knew back in 2021?
Yeah, no, I mean, we've been in championship contention every single year. The thing is that, you know, sometimes things don't go our way, or sometimes we'll, you know, for example, last year we would have been there up until the end if it wasn't for all the DNFs that I'm telling you. I mean, those just kill your championship. So we've definitely just, it's not that we haven't been there, but we've definitely had just a few instances that really have thrown us into our back foot, and you know, I think this year represents a great opportunity to recover, because there's still so much championship to go, there's still so much racing to go, and I think we're going to be right there just as we are every single year.
Certainly, I definitely expect that for sure. And Road America, Mid Ohio, these next coming races are plentiful opportunities, in Toronto as well. And speaking of IndyCar, you know, the series seems to be growing by leaps and bounds. Fan base is getting bigger. The personalities like you are getting more well known. And in fact, I would say you're probably one of the most popular drivers in IndyCar. What does that mean to you to be one of those favorites at the racetrack and even on social media?
No, it's amazing. It's very humbling. And that's what it's for at the end of the day. We're in entertainment. And for me, it's awesome to see all the five award jerseys walking around, and people cheering for us, for the team. And that's what we want to see, right? That means we're doing something right, and we're just going to keep on pushing.
And I love what you said during media day with me a few weeks ago. You were like, or not with me, but with the journalists rather, at the racetrack, you were like, I'm just a regular person. I just want to make sure that I make a few seconds for that person's year. You know, were there drivers that you looked up to as a kid that made you kind of reflect upon that?
So when I was young, I really looked up onto Alonso, Hamilton, Dixon Power. I personally had never been to a IndyCar race in person up until I started doing Road to Indy, which was 2015, when I did Pro Mazda back in the day, I guess. but yeah, I mean, I didn't really get to meet them until I started to, I guess, be teammates with them. Like, you know, I've never been teammates with Hamilton, but I have with Alonso a few years, actually, not just one. And so that was a really cool moment for me. And then racing against Power, Dixon, I never got to meet them before then, but I know them now, and it's cool. It's cool to share a track with them and compete against them.
Absolutely. And I think you're going to like what Will Power said about you recently. He described you as an amazing talent and one of the quickest guys he's seen in IndyCar. You know, when you hear someone like Will Power saying that about you, how does that make you feel?
No, I mean, it ultimately makes you feel like you're doing something right. Right. And it, not that it gives you the confidence, but it just reminds you that you're, you know, what you're doing, it's backing up what you're doing and what you feel like you are, you know, in the path that you're on, I guess. So it's great to be able to share a track, to compete with these guys. And I think it's another thing to, you know, for them to say something and kind of recognize what you're doing. I think that's really nice.
It's pretty cool to know. And I'd say you're definitely making a compelling case for what Will had said about you, to say the least. Now, for someone who has never driven an IndyCar like me, and I don't have the guts to do what you do, How would you describe racing your car at a place like Road America, the next track, or even last month at Indianapolis? How would you describe that experience?
So we just got to test in Road America, actually. They just repaved the whole thing, which the track did a phenomenal job with. It is one of the best repaves I've ever seen in my career. Very similar to what the repave did to Barber Motorsports Park. I mean, it's just, it's silky smooth, so much grip whenever the rubber gets laid down. And I mean, the thing is like 4 seconds faster. I mean, that's freaking fast. It was already a fast track. And right now it's just, it's, I'm very curious to see how it races. And I'm curious to see what deg is going to be like, because we didn't get to test with the tires that we're going to be racing. So I'm really hoping it's the same, because it was freaking awesome. I mean, in lap 19, you were as fast as you were in lap one, and or sometimes even faster. So it's going to be really all about, you know, how is the characteristic of the tire that Firestone's going to give us play into that. And if it's similar to what we tested, then it's going to definitely open up the strategy windows where you can either be very aggressive and do the overcut, or you can, you know, do the undercut, which has usually been what's been in the past. I'm super excited to see that.
Oh, that's going to be exciting, because the team strategists are going to be tabulating those figures. And the course driver's like, you're going to do as much as you can to charge down that long straightaway. And that's, I can't wait to see what happens in turn one. That's always exciting to watch.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, recently, I know you and your colleagues, you all participated in 100 Days to Indy to kind of showcase what it was like to lead up to the greatest spectacle in racing on CWTV. You know, what was that like to be a part of that, given how F1 had Drive to Survive and NASCAR had that race for the championship series on USA?
It was amazing. It really was. And it was great to see that the series has taken steps forward in terms of marketing and kind of getting out the series into the public, because, you know, your average IndyCar fan, like they know kind of like what is IndyCar, but a lot of people have no idea what it is. And it's such a cool racing product, which I felt like it had to be seen. It has to be seen. It needs to continue on to grow, because the racing product, there really isn't anything like it in the world. So it's amazing to be a part of it. And having all the 100 Days crews from Vice was awesome to have at the track. They really told the story of how it is. They didn't create any drama. They just told it as it is. And I think that there's a lot of truth to that, that you know, not just I enjoyed, but I think everybody in the paddock loved that about the series, that there wasn't, you know, something just created for views. You know, it was all very raw, as it should be, and I think a lot of the people loved it.
That's great, and that's how it should be, because it's really intense to get ready for the month of May, from the GMR Grand Prix down to the 107th running of the Indy 500 this past May. So that's really refreshing to know that it was really unfiltered in that regard. Yeah. Now, I've got a couple more questions for you, including the fact that I know before we started, Norby made his camera appearance here. So what's it been like to be a dog parent to Rocky and Norby, dog parent to dog parent?
Well, right now he's... You can see his ears. Yeah, no, he's been a good boy. He's 4 months now, and he's a very smart dog. Rocky's a bit more of a senior dog. He's 8 years old, so he sometimes gets a little annoyed, I guess, with his very young energy. But like, I've never had a dog that swims, and Norby genuinely goes to the pool and like jumps in to swim, which is, I feel like, unheard of for a corgi. I would expect it more with like a German Shepherd, but Rocky, he just likes to go into the low end and just kind of like play around there, but he's never jumped and actually swam. But this guy loves it. And yesterday I thought it was very cute, because he I think he looks up to him as like a dad. He just does what he does and he follows him, but he wants to play with him, and Rocky's not, yeah, just not as obviously as young anymore. So what he likes to do is not as early on, I guess, as this guy likes, like the squeaky toys and all that. Rocky doesn't like that. So they're getting along. They I think they're growing into the relationship slowly, but I think they like each other. And I don't know. I thought it was very cute that Norby kind of like did everything like he did. He was following exactly what Rocky was doing. And then he purposefully would kind of like touch him and show him like, hey, I can swim with me kind of thing. And he kept jumping in front of him to show him to go swimming. But Rocky didn't really go for it. He kind of just stayed doing what he was doing.
Oh, man. You're so lucky to have two dogs. I just became a dog parent this past couple of years. It's such a wonderful experience. So I hope I have experiences like yours with Rocky and Norby. That's just so sweet.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Nice to hear. Oh, man. Well, for my last question for you, my friend, and I hope we get to do this again in the future, what would you consider to be your welcome to IndyCar moment that makes you laugh or smile when you talk about it in a setting like this?
Ooh, welcome to IndyCar moment. It probably have to be the first race that I did in Sonoma, where I started. I was really, really fast. We qualified fifth, and it have to be when I went into the race where there was so much going on, and I think that's when reality kind of like checks in, and you learn that it's not just about being quick on the track. But all the little details have to be done perfectly if you want to go forward. The pit stop has to be good. The in and out laps have to be good. You need to control the tire deck. You need to feel safe. Like, there's so many things that you don't learn when you're younger up until you actually get to IndyCar that it's fairly overwhelming. So honestly, I had no idea what I was doing. I was just driving.
That sounds like a lot of fun, just to kind of be immersed in that experience and do what you wanted to do since you were a little boy. So
yeah, that's absolutely. That's
so cool, my friend. Well, Pato, I know you got to get going, get ready for the Grand Prix at Road America, newly repaved track. So best of luck to you in these next couple of races. Hope to catch up with you. And yeah, man, really appreciate you stopping by in TPF Live.
No worries, man. I appreciate the time. Thank you.
You got it, bro.
Bye.
See ya. And that was Pato O'Ward here on the hot seat. And my thanks, of course, to Pato for making the time for that interview recently. And of course, to Arrow McLaren PR rep Alex Kraya for making that possible. He was such a nice guy to talk to about getting these interviews squared away. And I'm really excited about getting these interviews on the podcast here and on our website as well. And on YouTube, of course, too. So we have a lot of IndyCar content coming your way on TPF Live. So don't worry, folks, on the open wheel side, we haven't forgotten about you. We want to make you feel just as loved about this show as we are with our NASCAR friends who are enjoying the week off, much deservedly so. And then, of course, we're going to get really busy these next several weeks with NASCAR basically running nonstop from now until daylight savings times ending in early November. Man, that just seems intense to think that we're not going to get any breaks from NASCAR starting next weekend. So I'll buckle down. It's for Nathan, probably the Bang Energy is going to be coming in handy. For me, I guess I'll just have to roll with it. I don't know. Anyways, folks, we're almost done with our show here for episode 74. Episode 75 will be next week, of course, and we're going to go back to the NASCAR side on things on that, because I had the pleasure to bring back a TPF favorite, if you will, that Nathan has interviewed twice, and he's going to come back this time. And it's a pretty fun interview with Roger Carruth for episode 75. So I can't wait for that. But before we close things out, Nathan, do you have any final thoughts you want to share with the fans about this coming weekend, you know, the IndyCar race, anything?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this weekend. I mean, it'll be a little, it's always a little weird with the off week, right? Because, like, you expect to sit down at 3 o'clock on Sunday and watch the NASCAR race, but it's all right though. We'll get through it. Got like I said, we got IndyCar, of course. We do have some stock car racing. We got the Cars Tour at Dominion. That'll be fun. I'll watch that Saturday. I think we got ARCA Saturday too, maybe. I think they're up in. I don't know where they are. I think ARCA's racing though. So we got some stock car racing though that we can watch. We can get our fix from. One of my favorite golf tournaments this weekend is this weekend, the U.S. Open. So I'll be watching that. I'm very excited for that. I've been very intrigued about. I don't know how much you're following or you follow golf or the PGA Tour or the whole PGA Live deal, but the whole PGA Tour and Live merger is very interesting to me. So I've been following along with that. So hopefully the US Open will be good, but ready to hit the ground running next week. I'd say with NASCAR content, but I won't really be on the NASCAR side next weekend because I'll be, like I said before, I'll be up at the Glen for the sailing 6 hours. So looking forward to that, and then a couple weeks from now I'll be headed out to Loudon. So should be a lot of fun. Getting geared up for the second half of the summer, which like last year will be very busy.
Absolutely. But we look forward to that. And I know it's going to be a lot of fun for us with all the action that we'll cover at the racetrack, with you, especially being in the northeast side of things. And then eventually for me, going back to Texas Motor Speedway. I hope it's going to be a cooler race weekend in September. But we basically are at every race, folks. So if you see a member of the TPF team, don't be afraid to say hi and give us a shout as well. But we have a lot to look forward to in the summer months. I hope it doesn't stay screaming hot in Texas, but hey, I'm here, so I gotta roll the punches, I suppose. But with that, I think it's time to go ahead and put a bow on this show. So for Nathan Solomon and for Pato O'Ward, I'm Rob Tionson saying thanks so much for listening to the Point and Finish Live, episode number 74 with Pato O'Ward. We'll be back in action next week to wrap up the action at Road America and look forward to NASCAR's Nashville race weekend. Gonna be a lot of fun and probably pretty freaking hot as well. With that, folks, I hope all the dads, including my dad, has a wonderful Father's Day weekend. Let's go get that checkered flag. And until next time, so long, everyone.